Of course you recognize that as Paul Desmond's Take Five, very, very famous tune, and given a little laid-back treatment here by the New York Ska Jazz Ensemble. This is from their 2010? This is from their 2010 European Tour album, and it seemed like the appropriate music that we need for today. In the middle of all this insanity, we need to take a breather. We need to, because if we keep going at the rate we're going, we're going to collapse. We just will collapse. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and glad to be with you again today. A couple of questions, that's all, that we're talking about today. Oh, by the way, let's start off with an update from Haiti. And the group that had kidnapped all those missionaries in Haiti and held them for ransom to the tune, at least this is what they had demanded, of $1 million each. Well, the news is that all of the missionaries have been released. There's no discussion as to whether any money was paid, how it worked out, if anybody else was involved in negotiating their release. But let's just be thankful there were no deaths, no killings, no violence. They were let go, and whoever now takes over an investigation to find out what had happened, they can do that, but geez, this is so upsetting. It's very upsetting when people do these kinds of things, and in their minds, it's all about them. You know, this is what we're doing. We're getting covered by the media. We're big, bad, and bold. Okay, fine. Got that message across. And now that puts you where? Has it promoted you in the echelons of terrorists and kidnappers and criminals? Have you earned extra stripes? What is that? What has it done for you? But also, what has it done for your country? You know, people are so self-centered when they do these things. It's like these people with the smash and grab and go attacks on major stores where they organize themselves as a kind of posse. And they arrive in cars, and their assistant robbers are unleashed in these stores, and they go in and grab all kinds of stuff that totals in the tens of thousands of dollars, and then they scamper away. Well, of course, they're young and not particularly bright because they see the world in a very compact way. It's all about them. And you wonder what kinds of impacts are these people having on the broader community? Do they care? Does it matter to them? Is this something that you would be out of a week from now? You know, they act like they have no conscience at all. And it is a mark in their view. It's a badge of honor to do these things. And it's very, very sad. Very sad. Because in Haiti, with all of the strife and all of the the challenges to daily life that people are dealing with, they don't think this is a good thing to do. It doesn't make Haiti look good. It doesn't make Haitians look good. It is a blot on their country, just the same. And we'll see how it turns out, whether there are going to be talks or there's going to be some kind of an analysis involving all parties and agreeing that this is not the way to go. This is not the way to go. Your parents didn't raise you to be criminals and gun-toting terrorists. And you shouldn't want that for yourself. You're not a good role model at the moment. But I don't think that that actually worries you. You experienced your 5 minutes of fame. You have had your fame. And now go back to the piece of life that you were living. It's very sad. Very sad. Okay, let's get on with some business here. And I have a couple of questions for you. And we'll see where we go with what we want to do that is uplifting, that helps people make sense of their world, that gives us the opportunity to talk with each other and exchange ideas. Far better alternative than running around with machine guns, saying you're kidnapping people and you're holding them for ransom at $1 million apiece. Turns out you didn't get it, did you? No, you didn't get it. All right, so the first question, just an idea, and let's hear what you're thinking about it. Should people living in the United States, legally, but they're not citizens, be able to vote in local, statewide, and national elections? Should people legally in the United States be able to qualify to vote in local, statewide, and national elections? And what could be the impact of that if it is allowed, if it is passed, if such measures do exist? Let's try that and see what you're thinking. 888-874-4888. Should people living in the United States and qualified to vote be able to vote in local, statewide, and national elections? What do you say to that? Lots of iffy answers. People like it. People don't like it. People are upset about it. They don't like the idea of people, just anybody, just because you're living here, you have the privilege of voting. They resent it. Some may not say it out loud, but they really do have some trepidation about it. And the question is, if such individuals are allowed to vote, what might be the impact of that? Gwen from New York, you start us off today.
Hi, Yatrice. We've been talking about this a lot in New York. I'm sure that's where your question is coming from. It's because it has happened in New York. It's going to be legal for you to be, you don't have to be a citizen, you just have to be living here legally to vote. And I am opposed. I am somebody who has run in campaigns before, and I really think that it is very much an incentive for people to become citizens here in the United States. And I just think it's one of the things that, it's a privilege you get as a citizen to be able to vote. And I just think it's really crazy that we're going to allow this to happen, and we're actually creating it happening. And the reason I understand for it happening is that the Democrats are so worried that Donald Trump is going to get back in that they're sure if they bring in the voters that are living here, but they're not citizens, that they will vote Democratic in the election, and that is how they'll win. But just like I think it's terrible about the voting rights being obliterated, I don't think that this is the answer for that.
What really irritates you about it?
I think it just seems the first word that came to my mind was it's unfair. It's just, to me, it's unfair. I think that there are a lot of people that come here and they are doing the right thing and they are citizens. And, I wouldn't expect Italy to think it was great if I went over there or to another country and got the right to vote there. It is a right to vote because you're a citizen, not just because you're living somewhere, but because you're a citizen. And there's all kinds of things that go along with being a citizen. And I just think it's really a cheap shot. And I think it takes us down further down a rabbit hole, which is already a mess. I think immigration is a big mess in this country, and I think this is going to make it worse.
Have you given any thought to the idea that many people who are not citizens are, in fact, extremely important as part of the tax base, and their money supports a number of initiatives for people who are citizens that they don't themselves enjoy?
Yes, I've thought about that. And I think if I went to another country and I was paying taxes, that, I would have to pay taxes. That's just the way it works all over the world. I think if this was such a great idea, that they would have done it a long time ago, but they haven't. And they're only doing it now at this very critical juncture where I can't stand Trump either, and he has a very realistic chance of getting back in. But I have to say that I just think this is way over the top. I think it's a Band-Aid for a problem that is much deeper. If Trump is getting back in office, you have a bigger problem than whether or not you're going to have some citizens that are legally living here vote in an election. I think the problems are much deeper than that, and I think we're not addressing them as usual. We're just putting a Band-Aid over things to temporarily fix it. But I think you're also opening up another can of worms, which is going to make a lot more resentment happen. You might even push people that are Trumpsters even closer to being more radicalized by saying, okay, you want to vote for Trump? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to allow everybody who's not even legally, that are not here as citizens, we're going to allow them to vote. I mean, it's just going to create more resentment and more anger.
Well, thank you. There's no question as to where you stand. You made it quite
not
clear.
On this one. It's not.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for getting us started today. Jeremiah from Harlem, you're on the air. What is your view?
I actually did some activism around this issue. I have an artist activist mothership called Earth Driver, which brings a lot of artists together to perform sort of funky, eclectic music. And we did a lot of benefit concerts over the years. And one thing we did was in Jackson Heights, we did an outdoor show featuring a few different bands. And it was to raise awareness around this immigrant voting rights issue, which, this was many years ago by now. But I think that everyone should be allowed to vote. I think prisoners should be allowed to vote even while they're in prison. I think, and the issue is also that I'm not sure if it was raised yet today, but these immigrants are they're not petitioning, or the people petitioning for this are not petitioning for the right to vote in national elections. At least at that time when I was, active around this issue, it was about being able to participate in local elections. And we could say unfair, but it's also unfair to practice taxation without representation. And these immigrants, if they're
good
participating
point.
In
good
society,
point.
They need to have basic voting rights, at least in local elections. But I wish people understood that the essence of democracy is supposed to be more participation. We're not going to get a better democracy by regulating people out of it. You know, if an immigrant is in this country, they might have a pretty objective perspective about what's going on at a local level. I wouldn't discount for 2 seconds that an immigrant would cast a conscientious vote, especially if they're going out of their way to do so, to vote. So I just think, you know, restricting people's voting rights is not the essence of democracy, and more people should participate, and it makes the vote and the final outcome more honest. But, you know, I think we have
what
other problems.
Do you think is that, what do you think is at the root of this? Is this just plain old resentment, or is this a logical response?
From which side?
From any side. The idea that you're not a citizen, you're still keeping that that alive, you know, who you are not.
As opposed actually, you led me to the point that I wanted to make additionally, which is that, you know, I think in general, as human citizens, as citizens of the planet, we should all be against these authorities and these authority figures, these authority structures as much as possible. I mean, I understand some need for basic safety, and I even understand the need for law. I mean, I don't profess to be an anarchist, but at the same time, I don't think any human being should be illegal, quote unquote, simply for their geographical position on the planet. If you haven't harmed anyone, no one should be able to grab you and say, well, you don't have the proper paperwork or what have you. You're a human being. You didn't harm anybody. And a lot of and this is something that never gets discussed as the immigration issue gets harped on by Democrats and Republicans for so many years now, is that so many of these immigrants that are coming from Mexico, they are legitimate refugees into this country, and they are refugees leaving war-torn conditions in which this country is culpable. And I've never really heard that entered into the mainstream discussion. It's just, oh, well, you know, these people, they want to come here because, you know, we have such a great way of life. And, you know, how do we deal with them? Are we really rough about it? Or are we sort of nice about it, but ultimately pretty rough about it? And I think we need to address, well, many of those people are, in fact, refugees. They're fleeing war-torn conditions in which paramilitary organizations armed with U.S. military-issued weapons that managed to take over entire regions of Mexico, where literally police precincts have been overwhelmed by illegal paramilitary forces, and the military had to come in and simply replace the police. Because in some of these other parts of the world, if the criminals have bigger guns than the police, well, they can sometimes eliminate entire precincts.
Could you explain, or attempt to anyway, how, when the shoe is on the other foot, let's say Americans in a foreign country, and people think it's perfectly fine that they should participate in local votes, how is it that we don't get that reaction, that negative reaction to Americans? And this question of should they be participating in a vote in another country?
Well, you know, that's a really fascinating question, Eatrice. And I realize as you ask me that, that is something that I am completely unknowledgeable in regard to what voting rights Americans would have in other countries. I think that's a fascinating question. And I'm completely drawing a zero in regard to that. I've never even thought about that question.
Okay. Well, thank you. You gave us a lot to think about, and you broke it down in a way that we could understand it. Thank you so much for participating today. I'll move on to another question, see what you think. Should presidential candidates be tested for their mental acuity before running for office? Should presidential candidates be tested for their mental acuity before running for office? What say you to that question? 888-874-4888. See, we've gotten some brilliant analyses so far, and it's just one question. Imagine if we did this as a regular exercise. We provoke some thoughts. I'm excited by it. All right. Before a person is allowed to declare for office, should that person have been vetted to make sure he's not insane or she is not crazy? You see the implications directly here. We're talking about Trump. Would Trump, in fact, have ended up as a candidate if he had to go through just regular testing and people coming up with a profile saying, well, this is what we think, and put it out there? Or is that a super invasion of a person's privacy, and that it has no business being mixed up in politics? But as you can see, there's a reason to be concerned about people running for office whose elevators don't quite get to the top floor. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's hear your answers or your responses to that question. Should presidential candidates be tested for their mental acuity, their psychological stability, before running for office, before being allowed to run for office, is really what I should have said. What do you think about that? Is that going too far? Or is that a brilliant idea that you should put to the test? Liz Marie from New York, you're on the air.
Hi. How soon can this be incorporated into our daily lives? This is something we needed a long time ago. We need it now. We need it before now. And then we wouldn't have clowns being presidents, perhaps.
But on the other hand, the argument could be, why is it that for this job in particular, this position, people have to get into my head and it becomes public knowledge. And during this interview process, I let it be known, I kind of hit a cat when I was 7 years old. And then, you know, they extrapolate from that and say that I'm not well-balanced psychologically and therefore not fit for public office.
Well, aside from hitting that cat, we sure know that you did more than that. If you're going to hit a cat, then you probably did more than that. If that's the only thing you did, then that's okay. But if anyway... Okay, the same thing regards to the police department. Whenever there's an accident, police are not tested to see whether they are on drugs or just taking alcohol in their system. But the common citizen is always checked to see, you know, did they have any kind of alcohol in their system. It goes both ways. And that would clean out a lot of the police problems that we have, dealing with sniffing whatever, or drinking whatever, or injecting whatever. Thank you very much.
But wouldn't it also deter people, good people, people who could actually make a difference, who might feel that this is just going too far?
No person running for anything
you're a good person. Should be subjected to what essentially is a psychiatric exam.
I think teachers should have a psychiatric exam also.
Let's make it easier for you. Who is going to be exempt if you're going to put everybody through a psychiatric test?
I mean, I would love to have my former husband been in that test. It would save me 7 years. How about that? I hope that answers your question, my love. We love you.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for calling in today. Henry from Chicago, what are your thoughts on the question? Should there be some kind of a psychiatric screening for presidential candidates before they run for office?
Hey, Utrice, how's it going?
Okay, hanging in.
Same here. Am I stuck to this question? I can answer it, but I wanted to answer the first one, if that was possible.
You can answer whichever question you want.
Oh, okay. All right. So just to reiterate, the first question is, should illegal people here vote? That's the first question, right?
Yeah. Should people living in the United States but who are not citizens be able to vote in local, statewide, and national elections?
Okay. For me, I would say, right now, I would say no, because the thing is, this topic is a very hot button topic, and it's causing a lot of tension, especially here in Chicago. They're in the process right now of kind of redrawing the ward maps here in Chicago, and it's kind of like at a stalemate right now because of the fact that the Latino caucus here is in a position where they're basically making a lot of the demands in regards to the number of wards. So they're subtracting one black ward and adding a Latino and also an Asian ward as well here in Chicago. And, you know, one of the things that the Latino caucus has always, you know, harped on is that the Latino population here has grown in Chicago. But the thing that was discovered was, you know, many of the Latino people that live here in Chicago aren't, you know, technically citizens, but because Chicago is a sanctuary city, they are allowed to vote in, you know, the Chicago elections. So it's caused a lot of tension between, you know, the black and also Asian, because, you know, I think the statistics is over 90% of Asians here are legal citizens here, but majority of the people who live here, you know, that are Mexican and other people from South, you know, from Mexico or South, Central or South Americans, are not here as U.S. citizens. So, right now I would say no.
But they pay taxes, and that's a big deal. They support through their taxes schools, public services, and so forth.
Well, you know what?
Isn't that taxation without representation?
Well, here's the thing. And I may not be very knowledgeable on this, but from my understanding, and I might be wrong on this, but from my understanding, majority of the Latinos who live here, yes, they are here, but I will say this: a lot of them get paid, you know, like when they work for, you know, when they do their work, a lot of them get paid under the table, which means that they don't take out income tax for, you know, for their pay. So many of them, at least from my understanding, at least here in Chicago, aren't really paying taxes. And then when they live somewhere, they basically live with a relative who is a legal citizen and just basically staying over there. So they're not even paying property taxes.
Well, listen to you. You sound like Joe Homeowner. No, but the question is this. Okay, even if this is the way many people, especially in the immigrant community, live, do you want, do you feel comfortable saying, well, you're not really legit. I don't consider you legit enough to allow you to just be a citizen and have rights as I do. Isn't that really what you're after here? A kind of, your nose is out of joint because of it. You see yourself as being deprived by, quote, these people, unquote, while you have to pay taxes, you have responsibilities as a citizen. Is that what's bothering you?
Yes, and also, too, that my ancestors have had to fought, you know, had to fight blood, sweat, tears in their very lives to actually be treated as citizens. And still to this day, we're still not fully treated as, you know, U.S. citizens. But for the little representation that, you know, that, like I said, at least my ancestors had to fight for, you know, it was paid with their blood and their lives. And so,
how about this? How about this?
Uh-huh.
Many people you encounter every day have been chased out of their countries.
Mm-hmm.
And been made to suffer. And been made to live as second-class citizens in their country of origin. Because this is how those societies are setting up their system. If you do not belong with us, you need to get out.
Well, Eutrice, I don't technically take that stance. I do believe there are human rights that should be given to people. I don't want, you know, these people deported or treated a certain way. However, when it comes to voting and when it comes to citizenship, that to me is a little different when it comes to a right, you know, which is technically for me not a human right as far as voting. Because it goes basically to the civil liberties of what a citizen is. So I don't take the position that, you know, they need to be deported, they need to be treated a certain way because they don't belong to this country as legal citizens. But at the same time, I take a different position when it comes to voting, because that's when you come to the civics part of what a citizen has the right to do.
Okay. Well, you also, and you should be aware of this, you also are being very judgmental in the sense that you referred quite a bit to your ancestors. They hadn't been citizens for a very long time. They built this country.
Mm-hmm.
They built it. And were denied, systematically denied, what should have been their natural rights.
Mm-hmm.
That, I'm sure, doesn't make you feel good. And then to think that you're okay repeating the process or the cycle, except that the people are different.
Well, Eutrice, I wouldn't say I'm okay with it. I'm just saying that. Yeah, I mean, trust me when I say right now, I say that they shouldn't vote, because I'm open to it, but just looking at it from a very narrow view, and I will admit that, and looking at it from, you know, my Chicago perspective, it has caused a lot of conflict and a lot of, like I said, the Latino caucus has used this argument about, you know, the increase of population of the Latinos in Chicago. However, many of them are not, you know, legally citizens of this country.
Oh, Oh, you're going to get it when you hang up?
All right. Hey, you know what?
You're going to get it.
Okay. All right. Well, you know
what? I appreciate your point of view. It's a very difficult place to be, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Because what you're saying is, while you recognize the sameness of the struggle, you're not willing to recognize the sameness of the struggle. You recognize it and you don't want to recognize it at the same time.
Like you said, it's a very difficult decision, and I'm very open about it.
I understand.
So, yes. So, I'm not anti-immigrant or anything like that, but just in this particular, topic, I'm voting for no.
Okay. I thank you for allowing us access to your inner thoughts. That's very brave of you. I thank you for doing that, and without hesitation. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for helping us make sense of your take on it. You know, everybody doesn't have to have the same take on it, but it is just the same, in a way, a very private kind of matter. You have your private views, but you shared them openly with us today, and that's really extraordinary. So thank you for that. Thank you very much for that. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Veronica from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Which question are you understanding?
I hope I get both, but I'm going to start with, it is the law.
Oh, just pick one, because we're running
all right,
tight on time.
It is the law that the presidential candidates have to undergo a psychological examination. And Donald Trump did fail his. There were doctors from Harvard, Yale. There were over 30,000 doctors. The one that directly did it from Harvard, they said that he was not all right to be a presidential candidate. There's also the book, The Unauthorized Psychoanalysis of Donald Trump, and many psychiatrists had signed on to it. Right?
And then there was that group of psychiatrists who put out a report called Duty to Warn. And they put out a report based on their analysis of Donald Trump, and it painted a very scary picture about his ability to be rational and reasonable. And dare I say normal, that was a big report.
Yes, it was. The book, The Unauthorized Psychoanalysis of Donald Trump, written by James C. McIntosh, is excellent. It's under 100 pages, but precisely documented, reasons why. And it paints the picture of pretty much what we would have been dealing with, which was said before it happened. Now, I also wanted to talk, you said I didn't have much time, but taxes are paid twice. When you receive a check, they take out taxes, Social Security, they take out city, state taxes, and then when you go into a store and you purchase something, you're taxed again. Which is, it shouldn't be, right?
I don't know. I'm listening to your argument.
Oh, okay. $365 million a day of tax dollars leave America and goes to England. $41 billion is paid to Israel before a penny is given to a person in the United States. The police department has an office there. Now, if you make $15 an hour, a living wage would be $45 an hour, per se, in New York City. So you would have to work 24 hours to make a living wage to pay what the cost of rent and so forth, or, you know, a mortgage, and, I mean, it would be even more. Now, Henry was saying a couple of things about people not paying taxes. You know, there's a whole list of people that don't pay taxes, whether it was the mafia, CIA, FBI, NSA, you know, taxation without representation would be the prisoners. You know, whether falsely arrested, Central Park Five, people who had to work for 9 cents an hour, and then they charge people $1 for soap, basic essentials. So some people don't realize that in itself is an industry where they can fix furniture and electronics. So,
But tell us what you are thinking. You're giving us a scenic tour, and we appreciate it, but you're not telling us what you're thinking.
Oh, I'm saying that people should be allowed to vote, right? They also should be able to have a class. They don't teach these things anymore. So you're led, you know, a commercial tells you something 9 times and you follow what's in the commercial. And most people that vote don't have a clue of what's going on, you know. And most people that know what's going on, it's like, it's a waste of time. What am I voting for? These candidates aren't even in touch with the humanity and the things that we need. You know, most of the candidates, it was no one to vote for. As far as I knew, I had never heard, and maybe I'm clueless, I hadn't heard of Barack Obama 4 years before he was elected. You know, and I wanted to know, who are the people that meet the needs of the people? They're not meeting the needs of the people. However, for instance, Kamala Harris and Biden, they were out of the fray. They had lost these debates, and it was narrowing down, and then all of a sudden they just knocked off whomever, and they put them right back, which was their initial candidates in the first place. And I didn't sit here and watch all the debates, but I observed that. You know, that wasn't a democracy. That wasn't a democratic vote that elected these, you know, Jim Crow Joe. I don't know what's going on with that, but I
saw you put a package together that has about one of everything in it for us to consider. So maybe you need to revisit what you offered us today and develop a straight line argument around this question, because it clearly is a complicated question and people are having a lot of thoughts about it, because it is resonating at a whole bunch of levels that we can't even anticipate. But so I would like you, if you don't mind, to think about that and come back to us.
I had one last thing that I think is unfair concerning voting. Even if you're arrested, they choose if you can vote or not.
No, but you're off topic, I'm sorry to say.
Yes. Okay.
That would be off topic.
Thank you. All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for understanding. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother
Bye-bye.
David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hello?
Are you there? Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, yes. I would say be in favor of non-citizen voting. What I would do is expedite those who want to be citizen for a much shorter period, and allow them to vote. You know, you wouldn't come here one day and be allowed to vote the next day when you were a legal entry to the entrance to the United States. But I would do some adjustment, and some of the things I was thinking about have already been mentioned, but I don't have any objections to non-citizen voting. I mean, the states control the voting, and that is the way I see it. I think those changes should be made in all the states, so that could be done, and that's the way I see it.
All right. Very concise. Thank you very much. Thanks so much for your opinion today. Let's try Allie from New York. You're on the air, Allie. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing, you trees? I hope everything's
okay.
I wanted to say hello to all the PRN listeners. And here we go.
All right.
Here we go with the first question. First of all, and I hope that I'm off topic, but I just wanted to say I have been very, very, and that is the only reason that I'm calling today, because I love to listen more than calling. I'm very surprised about Glenn and about Henry. Glenn, I could let it go because
it's
even though
Gwen.
Gwen, yes. She said that she was married to a black man. That really, to me, doesn't mean anything because she still is a white woman, and she will be able to go where I can go with my citizenship, as she's talking about. Like, this is such a great thing. That's why our mom was killed, because he wasn't allowed to be in that area of that town. So that could happen to me, too. So I don't see the big deal. But I do have to, and I have to agree with Jeremiah. I think in local elections, these people should vote. I don't see anything wrong with voting on those local elections. These people, especially here in New York, you will see that in a lot of areas, a lot of the kids that you see in those schools, the kids of immigrants, especially a lot of people from the Caribbean and a lot of people from Latin America. So they're part of the school district. And you wanted to participate in whatever is done in the school system. So, and also they get affected by the housing. So I don't see anything wrong with these people voting, especially in local elections, because they pay taxes. And like Harry said, I'm surprised, very surprised about Henry, what he said. Henry picked a group of people that he said, according to him, they don't pay taxes. How does he know that? Can he tell me how many of them? And he should not blame them that they don't pay taxes. He should blame the people that hired them. Because those people that they hired those people, they don't pay taxes themselves. And they're probably, most of them, they are American. As you know, here in New York, and you know that, oh, you trees, the Korean, they used to have all these fruit stands years ago. Now they take credit card. It used to be a cash cow. So they didn't pay taxes. Even the Italians still have restaurants here that they don't take credit cards. And what is that? Because they don't pay taxes. The Chinese is the same. So please, Henry, I'm so shocked that you picked
a group of people. It's just his opinion.
That's his opinion, but you know, you have to be careful what your opinion is, because then you sound like almost anti-immigrant. And a lot of these, the Walkers, they don't pay taxes. The Bezos of the world don't pay taxes. Trump doesn't pay taxes. So just because some of these people, they get paid, and let your face it, when these people, they get paid, it's penny on the dollar, because that's why they get hired. So I believe that these people, they should participate on local elections. There is a lot of things that, especially here in New York, that affect them. The school system, housing, sometimes they're unemployed. It's a lot of things that these people should be doing to participate on what is happening to their own family. And I don't think it's a big deal, even though I'm a citizen, or being a citizen of this country, because the worst thing, and I always remember you said, Utrecht, and I always repeat myself, who is a citizen of this country? And I always remember this story about that nurse that went around when she came back, that you talk about it. Years ago, you talk about the nurse that she didn't care that she was supposed to be quarantining herself. She went out and she said, I'm white, I have a right, and I'm not staying at home. So I just wanted to put those things out there. But I'm really surprised about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're closing out our program today. But I want, before we go, to let people know, we're continuing this dialogue tomorrow. So it's not done. Today is the first part. I have a whole bunch of questions here that are equally provocative, and I'd love to hear you express your opinions about these things, because in the end, this is part of the natural transactions that we have with each other. We never talk about it in that sense, but we harbor a lot of feelings, unexpressed feelings, and this would be a good way to express ourselves. Thank you so much, everyone, for being such great sports today and offering your opinion straight from your heart, straight from your gut. You are not editing, and I appreciate it greatly. And we'll hook up again tomorrow. Let's try that and answer some more questions. Bye-bye.